morning. The best way we could start any morning is with baptism. And I want to introduce to you, this is Lori Batt. And Lori, I've got a question for you. Are you 100% sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then Lori, because of that decision, I can baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a new way of life.
Church, this is Rachel Schneider, and she's just finished third grade in our ministry. And Rachel, I'm asking you, 100%, are you 100% certain that you have Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then because of your public profession of faith in Him and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the new way of life.
And this is Whitney Baber. Whitney, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Lori. Are you 100% sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Everybody heard that, right? Whitney, because of that decision, I can baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a new way of life.
Let's just start by singing, God bless America. We're so grateful for the land that God has given us, the freedoms that He's given us.
Oh,
Christ was born across the sea with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me.
As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
I can almost hear the trumpet sound. The Lord's return is near. There are still so many people lost. His message they must
thankful for a country that celebrates freedom, where we are allowed to attend together, to welcome each other in the house of the Lord. So today, will you stand with me, turn to someone, say, welcome to First Baptist Springdale, where we have freedom in America. Wonderful. Will you please be seated today? Choir, have a seat. As we said a few minutes ago, we're asking everyone to fill out a registration card. Everyone, church members, first-time guests, long-time guests, everybody fill out one of these registration cards. And if you have not, your information has not changed, just check the box. It says if your information has not changed, please place an X and put your name on the top line. Our ushers will come and pick these up after we look and see what's going on here at First Baptist Church of Springdale and tonight at the Church of Pinnacle Hills.
Thanks for joining us for the Summer Freedom Celebration this morning.
There are a few things coming up that you'll need to know about.
Vacation Bible Extreme kicks off Sunday, July 11th for kids grades 1 through 5 and their family. This year features performances by BMX stunt rider Vic Murphy, Illusionist, and music by Shane Shower Band.
No registration is required, but volunteers are needed. To learn more, go to fbcs.net/kids. Over the next 4 Sundays, you will be blessed by the teachings of Dr. Charles Lowry.
Life always gets back at you. Remember those funny faces you used to make in the mirror when you were a little kid? Well, it gets back at you when you're about 50. It makes funny faces back.
Jesus came to show you that God can be trusted.
Dr. Lowry will teach a four-week series entitled Balanced and Blessed. And tonight, come back for the third annual Fireworks at the Crosses at the Pinnacle Campus. If you want to be baptized under the crosses, be there by 6:30 p.m. You can sign up for baptism as you leave today.
Happy 4th of July. See you tonight.
Yes, tonight is going to be a great night of fellowship. You know, how many shot off some fireworks last night? You know, I almost had to be taken to the hospital. We had some things that were a little much, but it really felt great to sit out in the yard with about 25 of our friends and church members. And tonight, we're just going to have an old-fashioned fellowship. Both campuses are coming together. We want to encourage you to be there. If you have been considering getting baptized, I could think of no better location than at the foot of the crosses with your pastor baptizing you. We'll give you an opportunity later on in the service to sign up. Ushers, would you please come down and take up these registration cards? Please pass the registration cards to your right, and our ushers will come and collect those. Tonight, food is all just a dollar. There's also some snow cones that will be given away and some other various foods, but we want to encourage you, if you want to come out a little early and set up a tent, music will start around 6 o'clock. Baptism will start around 7:30. It's one of the best things we do every year, and it is not going to rain. I'm just telling you that right now. Me and Jesus talked about it this morning real early. And don't come ask me what plan B is, okay, because it's not going to rain. Now, we want to see you there tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing and His anointing on the service. Father, we love You. We bless Your name. We thank You for a country that stands for freedom. We pray, God, for all of our civil servants, those in government, our police officers, our firefighters, those in the armed forces that may not have a home church to go to today because they're out on the field. Father, we pray for them. Bless today as we thank You for our country, this great nation of America. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you please stand for the posting of the colors by the VFW Post 3031. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Oh. You may be seated. And now we take great pride in recognizing the Armed Services of the United States, as well as the reserved and associated organizations. We invite any of you who have served or are presently serving to stand when we mention your branch of the service so that we might thank you and honor you.
The United States Army, the Armored and Infantry Divisions, are providing security and support for the troubled countries of Iraq and Afghanistan. To all the men and women of the Army throughout our history, our salute. Our ships continue to patrol and maintain stability in the Persian Gulf and in other troubled areas around the world. To every member of the Navy and on every battle front, we salute you. Of Coast Guard veterans, our gratitude, our salute. U.S. infantry divisions by patrolling some of the most deadly areas in Iraq and Afghanistan. To every member of the Marine Corps on every battlefront, we salute you.
United States.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my precious Lord to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
Paul, would you remain standing? Good morning. We welcome you here today. Thank you so much for coming. We welcome our Pinnacle Hills congregation here today as well. Thank you for being here. I had several comments today from people who said, man, we love your tie. And I told them, I said, you know, my wife, she hates this tie. But she said I look like an evangelist. I don't know. What can I say? Hey, there's something about men. When your wife says, I hate that. It's like, okay, I like this. So thank all of you for the affirmation, because I experienced abuse the entire time I was at home this morning. Tonight, don't miss tonight. I tell you, it is a wonderful, powerful event. So don't miss tonight. Connect with us at Pinnacle Hills. And we look forward to you being there. It's going to be a great, great night together. We're going to prepare to give to the offering today. I pray that you'll remain faithful all through the summer. And we are now just entering July. And I don't know when the last time it was that we had July the 4th. On a Sunday, I meant to Google that today and find out, but I forgot. And I was so caught up in the tie, I could not do that. But it would be interesting to know. I want us to bow together as we pray today. Father in heaven, we pray now that you would take the gifts that our people give and multiply and expand the gospel to the ends of the earth. We pray for our missionaries today all throughout America and the world. Lord, so many away from family and obviously giving major sacrifice of time and energies and efforts. And even on every holiday, I'm sure that they're reminded of something back home. And so I pray for them today that you would prosper them, you would bless their work and their labor. We pray for the armed forces all around the world, things that are happening still in Iraq and, of course, Afghanistan. And God, would the mercy and the grace of God be with our troops today, wherever they may be located in the world, but especially in those two places in the world. Would you cover this nation with grace, with mercy in time of need? Lord, we have a lot of issues, but I pray today that we'll look past our issues to a degree and that we will celebrate the great nation that we are a part of today. And today we thank you for America. We thank you for men and women who paid a heavy, heavy price years and years ago so that we could be a part of a nation such as this. And we pray today as we turn this attention and this entire ministry for a few moments towards the generations of when God seemed to move profoundly in this nation, we pray today that you would do it again. Lord, do it again. Minister life to us. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you be seated?
Founded on the truth of Scripture and the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. The founding fathers had a deep faith and knew that this was the only way that this new nation would be able to stand. Because of that heritage, God has moved with power among His people, bringing revival to the pages of American history. And each time God brought one of these revivals, He put songs in the heart of His people to turn back the praise and thanksgiving to Himself. It was in the 1730s, before America became an independent nation, that Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield called the colonists to repentance with messages like sinners in the hands of an angry God. Charles Wesley, a well-known pastor and hymn writer, penned the words to one of history's greatest songs during a revival that became known as the Great Awakening. Towards the end of the Second Great Awakening in the mid-1800s, Fanny Crosby was writing hymns for the church at a rapid pace, writing over 8,000 despite being blind from birth. After leading an 18-year-old young man to Christ, he turned to Mrs. Crosby and said, "Now I can see my mother again, for I have found God." Fanny Crosby was moved by the mercy of God to sinners. She titled a song inspired by this young man's conversion called "Rescue the Perishing."
Is merciful, Jesus will save. And down in the human heart, and crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. And touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. We sing, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. Oh, and rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Century
before America saw another spiritual awakening. In 1947, a relatively unknown preacher began leading evangelistic crusades throughout the southern United States. When he set foot in Los Angeles, everything changed. What started as a simple one-week crusade turned into a six-week revival. Later, a crusade in New York City and Madison Square Garden lasted 16 weeks. In total, 2.5 million people came to faith in Christ as a result of the ministry of Dr. Billy Graham. Alongside Dr. Graham for most of his ministry was America's beloved gospel singer, George Beverly Shea. His famous rendition of "How Great Thou Art" and songs like "I'd Rather Have Jesus" became a staple and a marker of Dr. Graham's ministry.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art!
Silver or gold, I'd rather be gold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be
late 1960s, with growing unrest in the younger generation concerning the Vietnam War, a small evangelical mission opened its doors in San Francisco. The goal of this unique group of hippie Christians was simple: to spread the gospel in new ways to reach the hippie culture that was around them. Out of this Jesus movement came songs that combined the rock sound of American radio with the gospel message. Songs like Pass It On and Keith Green's Oh Lord, You're Beautiful literally revolutionized modern worship music. Continues among America's younger generations. The Passion Movement has been sweeping across college campuses since 1997 with the goal of uniting students in worship and prayer for spiritual awakening among this generation. In 2008, these conferences went global and meetings were held from Kiev all the way to Sydney, Australia. Artists like Charlie Hall and Chris Tomlin have written some of the best-known songs of this era, including How Great Is Our God and Awakening. Now it is time for a new generation to rise up and take the gospel to the ends of the earth, that all may know Him.
In our hearts, Lord, in this nation,
comes alive. I hear your voice and
greatness of our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see. How great is our God.
One last time, sing. How great is our God.
This morning I would like to speak on the subject, if I had one last message to give to America. I would like to talk about that out of Matthew chapter 24. And so if you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to look with me to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said these words as recorded in verse 44. He says, "This is why you must also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The favorite saying that Jesus had about himself was to refer to himself as being the Son of Man. Meaning what? Meaning that he was fully God and he was fully man. And Jesus here said, "You must also be ready, because I will come at an hour that you do not expect." Just recently, national and international news picked up on a statement that Billy Graham made. He made this statement at 91 years of age. "I really want to preach one more time." I thought about that statement. His family said it would probably never happen. But I wonder if he did, what would he say to America and what would he say to the world? That also made me wonder, when I think about some of the great pastors and preachers of the past, that God is so used mightily in America, and many of them did not have the joy of living to be 91. But they were snatched away from this earth through a tragedy, through an accident, perhaps even early in their lives or even later in their ministries. Most die without any warning at all that they're going to die. But what would those men say? What would they preach? I'm reminded of a man Jesus talked about over in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. You remember the story about the rich man and the poor man? The poor man died and he went to heaven, not because he was poor, but because he responded to God in his life. But the rich man, when he died, he went to hell. And he didn't die and go to hell because he was rich, but he died and he went to hell because he did not respond to God. This rich man was so miserable, Jesus said, that he begged and begged and begged that someone could go to his five brothers and proclaim to them one more time the need for them to repent and come to God. In fact, he said, "If you would, Jesus, just send that one named Lazarus. All he did was live on the crumbs from my table, but would you at least send him to my five brothers? Because I guarantee you, if they were able to hear him preach to them and tell them to repent, coming from the dead, I guarantee you they would believe." And Jesus said, "No." He said, "If they will not hear the law and the prophets, even someone sharing with them from the dead will not make them believe." Jesus was very concerned about eternity, not for himself, but for you. He was concerned about his coming, not for himself, but for you and for me. In Matthew 24, he gives us a glimpse of a few things that he says are going to happen before he comes again. I'm reminded of what he was saying in verse number 6 when he said, these things are going to begin to happen, but listen to what he said, the end is not yet. And then in verse 33, when he was talking about Israel, I believe literally there, he was talking about the rebirth of the land of Israel becoming its own nation as of in 1948. And he said, this generation will see and will not pass away. And he said, that means that Jesus, he is near and he is at the door. And then he said in verse number 36, he said, concerning the day and the hour, no one knows. In verse 42, he says, everyone had better, listen to this, be on the alert. And then he says in verse 47, you also must be ready. You see, the scripture here makes it real clear. Jesus said the end is near. We must have urgency about the way we live our lives. We must have urgency about what we do personally in responding to the gospel and personally in sharing the gospel with a world that needs the truth of God's word. So I thought this week, and prayed this week, and asked the Lord, if I had one last message to preach to America, what would I say? I'm going to go straight and to the point today. There are four things I would say. I would say, first of all, there is no other way to God than through Jesus Christ. That's what I would say to America. In this day and hour when so much religious pluralism is acceptable in our culture and many believe that there are many paths to God, I'm reminded of what Jesus said over in the 14th chapter of Gospel of John in verse number 6 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Coming to God has nothing to do with being religious. It has nothing to do with being moral. Coming to God has to do with you coming to a point, a place, a time, and a moment in your life when you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. You turn from the life that you're living and you surrender your complete self totally to the best of your ability to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when that happens in your life, your sins are forgiven, Christ comes to live within you, and you are promised heaven when you die. If I had one last message to give to America, I would say this. To America, there is only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is no other way to God than through Jesus Christ, the Lord. That is what message needs to be heard. But I would also say this. I would say, America, be unashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. Even though it may not be politically vogue or cool, be unashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. I shall never forget the words of the great apostle over in chapter 1 of Romans when he said these words as recorded in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power to salvation for everyone who believes. It doesn't matter what your background is, what your genealogy may be. If you believe, the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to change your life. The gospel means what? That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, but on the third day he was raised from the dead. And when you acknowledge that gospel, you should be unashamed to identify with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many people will go to hell one day because they've been too ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ? How many people will spend eternity without God because they are too ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ? One of the ways you identify with Jesus Christ, and quite honestly, it is the first biblical way you identify with Jesus Christ, is through believers' baptism. It's when you walk in that water, you have said, I have chosen Jesus to save me from my sin. I am leaving my past life. I am moving to a new life. Past is past, and the future is new for me. There are many of you here today, you've never given your life to Christ because you're too ashamed. There are many of you who have given your life to Christ. You've never identified with Christ through baptism. Why? You've thought of 1,000 reasons why you can't. But I'll tell you the ultimate reason why you can is you're ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed. Christ died for you publicly. Christ gave his life for you publicly. He lived publicly. He will come back publicly. And you need to be willing to publicly identify with Jesus Christ through believers' baptism. Tonight I'm going to baptize every person who wants to be baptized at the foot of the crosses at the church at Pinnacle Hills. I want to urge you today to come. And if you know the Lord, but you've never followed Christ in believers' baptism, for you to let me baptize you tonight. Will you do that? And I want to say to every one of you that are born again and you've already identified with Christ through baptism, don't be ashamed to stand for Jesus in the marketplace. Don't hold your head in shame like you have something to be embarrassed about. And you may let the pagan and the lost and the unchurched parade their false belief about whatever they believe. But you had better never shrink away from telling it like it is about what God says in his word, about what he says about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be unashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. The next thing I would say to America, wake up. That's what I would tell America. America's a sleepy nation. I could talk politically about that very easily, but I've come to my life and place and point in leadership, politics, yes, they're important. And yes, if God's called you to go into it, go into it. If I had 100 lives to live, I'd love to be president of the United States, one of them. I'd love to be a senator to the United States Senate to be one of them. I'd love to be the governor of a state. I'd love to do that, but that's not my calling. And I don't have 100 lives to live because I don't believe in reincarnation. But I can tell you one thing. The hope for this nation is not going to be found in the ballot box or in the White House. It's going to be found in the church house. And that's where the hope is. And the reason America is asleep is because the church is asleep. And the church needs to wake up. get its act together and be the church, whatever the price may be. The apostle had a great word about this over in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. He said these words in verse 11. He said, besides this, knowing the time, critical point there, this season, it is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep. A message to the church, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It's time for the church to wake up. There's some of you personally and spiritually in your life. You need to wake up, man. You've been putting it on cruise control. You've been not making any big deal about your spiritual life. You act like that life is good, and as long as life is good at the job, it doesn't really matter the way I live, how I live, who I live with. Well, I want to just make it real clear today. God has called you to be the people of God as the church of God. He's called you to be a holy people. He's called you to be set apart. He's called you to be a revived people. He's called you to make a difference in this world. He's called you to move beyond yourself, to wake up, to get your act together, and change the culture in which we live towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I would tell America. I would tell them it's time for the church to wake up. And if I had one last message to give to America, I would not only say those things, but I would say this important thing as recorded in the book of Ezekiel in chapter number 3. I would tell you, finish the task of taking the gospel to the nations. You know, we're accountable for what we do with the gospel that we've received in our lives. We're accountable for what we do with what Jesus has done in us. Ezekiel is an incredibly challenging book. But over in chapter 3 of the book of Ezekiel, in verse number 18, listen to what he said. He said, if I say to the wicked person, you will surely die, but you do not warn him, you do not speak out to warn him about his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person will die in his iniquity. Yet, God says, I will hold you responsible for his blood. Hold you responsible for his blood. Church, I want us to understand today, we are accountable to God with what we do and how we handle the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we do not take seriously of warning every boy and girl, every man and woman in Northwest Arkansas, in this nation, and around the world to the nations of the world, then we will be responsible and their blood will be on our hands. That's why we need to finish the task of taking the gospel to every people group in the world. We don't need to be lax about this. We don't need to act like it's not our responsibility. It is all of our responsibility. When is the last time? What is the last strategy we have used as a church to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in Northwest Arkansas? When is the last time have we had a strategy for that? We're accountable. We are responsible. And their blood will be on our hands if we don't at least go and warn them that they need to come to Christ to save them from their sin. I close with this today. When I look at the church in the New Testament, and I look at the church in America today, there are a lot of things that have no similarity at all. But I want to tell you what I believe is one of the most glaring unlikenesses, dissimilarities of the two. You know what they are? It's one thing. The church of the New Testament lived with great urgency. The church in America lives with zero urgency. Paul's cruise, passive. We need to get our act together. And before we go and we point to the pagan out here for killing babies that are still in the mom's womb, or before we get on some group that believes this or that about marriage, we'd better start right here in the church of God. And we better start acting like Jesus could come any day or any hour. That little song a moment ago that was sung, Pass It On, that's my generation's song. I leaned over to Meredith and I said, Meredith, that song changed church music. She said, I never even heard that song. But it did. But I want to tell you something different then than now. Then, the church was so conscious that Christ could come again. I remember as a boy going home at night wondering if this could be the moment. Could this be the day? And I remember as a young preacher believing that in my heart. But today, in this hour of sophistication and affluence and extreme spiritual arrogance in the church, the urgency and the belief is gone. May God resurrect us from the dead.